In St. Doherty's Parish Quiz the other night, there was a section on the names of characters from TV soap operas. Needless to say, I got about 3 out of 10. But one I did get was Del Boy, famous for his catchphrase, "One day, brothers, we're going to be millionaires." And it was that lovely series, Only Fools and Horses. And my favourite dodgy deal of his was when bottled water became trendy and everybody was walking around with bottles, as it still are today, in fact. He then, of course, began selling Peckham spring water, which actually came straight from the tap in his council flat kitchen. And after years of such great get-rich-quick schemes, he finally did find the pearl of great price in the last episode. It was an antique watch which had been in their own lockup and they'd never noticed, and of course it made them millionaires. Another popular program at the moment is Cash in the Attic. Now, an attic is a place where people put things they don't need anymore but don't want to throw out in case they might come in handy one day. Then, of course, the next generation comes along, has a clear out, and finds that the old vase which Granny used to put the flowers in is, in fact, a priceless vase from the Ming Dynasty. It's just like finding hidden treasure in a field. Now, both these examples are about the discovery of immense riches, one by a lifelong search, dedication, if you like, the other by chance. But the discoverers are not likely to have to sell everything they own in order to obtain them. In contrast, both the parables that Jesus tell today raise the question of how far we would be prepared to go and how much we would be willing to give up to obtain the greatest treasure of all, which is eternal life. The third parable is about how important it is to have balance in our lives. Like a dragnet, we haul all sorts of things into our lives. Some are brilliant, some are rubbish, and we need to sort them out. Every disciple of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, knows to bring out from his storeroom things both new and old. To help us to do this, we need to know the true value of what we are bringing out from our storeroom. For example, you are probably aware that there are factions within the church at the moment at loggerheads with Pope Francis, accusing him of heresy and riding roughshod over traditional teaching. Of course, he's doing no such thing. What he is doing is bringing out from the church's storeroom what is old but essential from our sacred tradition, which is one of the twin sources of revelation along with the Bible, while at the same time encouraging all that is good in new ways of spreading the gospel, which don't always conform to the rigid interpretation his detractors would like. He's not changing one iota of church doctrine, but he's balancing its weight with God's all-consuming mercy. Jesus himself said, "I have not come to destroy the law, but to bring it to perfection." He meant he wanted us to reach a stage in our life where we would not need to be told what to do, because the love of God that we have in our heart would do it for us. It's what Pope Francis means by the joy of the gospel. The sacred tradition of the church is 2,000 years old and it's never changed. In Catholicism, something is either true or not true. You can't have a vote on it. But in every age, we also have to be aware of the signs of the times and how they affect what we hold to be objective truth for the common good. Unfortunately, in our time, subjective individualism, pre-COVID-19 anyway, undoubtedly held sway. But things may be changing. Over the past 4 months, I've lost count of the times I've heard how kind, thoughtful, and helpful people have been. So maybe we won't go back to how it was before. In every era, including our own, we must know when to bring out old and new, individually, of course, but also collectively. So perhaps this quote from Ian Lyndon in the recent issue of Pax Christi, which is the International Catholic Movement for Peace, is particularly relevant for the signs of our times. Says this: "The impact of COVID-19 was a stark revelation of the gross inequality in our nations. We face choices. We can cling to Little England nationalism or be inspired by scientists to promote a global vision based based on international cooperation. We can pay our key workers a respectful living wage or just applaud them on Thursday evenings. We can root our economy in the shifting sands of financial services and promote arms sales, or invest in the sustainability of a high-tech manufacturing economy which reduces emissions. In short, post-coronavirus, we can either continue with unfettered competition and growing inequality, or we can rebuild our societies based on care for creation, justice, human dignity, and building peace.